Hey, thanks, Corva. So for
Thanks,
most
Corva.
football fans, this Sunday is the best single day of football action there is, even better than Super Bowl Sunday, because there are two games instead of just one, which means more football to watch and a higher probability of a really great game. The four teams playing this weekend are the Patriots against the Chargers and the Packers against the Giants. The winners go to the Super Bowl. And to talk about this football bonanza, I've brought in Dan Pashman, BPP producer and big-time New York's Giant fan. He's going to sit in here with me. And joining us now to break down Sunday's action is Ron Jaworski. He's an ESPN football analyst and Monday Night Football commentator and a former quarterback himself. He led the Philadelphia Eagles to the Super Bowl in 1980. Hey, Ron, is it okay if I call you Jaws?
Just go with Jaws. See, it's easy that way, Rachel.
Okay, I'm told this is what people call you, so we're going to call you that too, because I've known you for about 2 minutes, and you've now told me that we're close friends, so I can call you that. We're just going to get right to it, Jaws. Let's start off with the earlier game, the San Diego Chargers heading to New England to take on the Patriots. Everyone knows by now they're just two games away from the first 19-0 season in NFL history.
In your introduction, you talked about the last couple weeks being the best weekends of football. I believe championship weekend is the best day of football in the entire season. I know the Super Bowl is going to be huge and all those things, and the media will be out there in droves, but championship Sunday to me is very, very
big. Super Bowl Sunday is amateur. That's when I watch, basically.
Yeah. See, that's party time. Everyone's involved for the party, but this is the big Sunday. If you can win the championship game, then you know you're going to the Super Bowl. Yeah. Now, I'm going to make my move early here. As you said, it's San Diego at New England. New England playing at an incredibly high level this season. You know, I don't see a beat-up, battered, bruised, and a concussed San Diego team going up to New England winning this football game. And I tip my hat to Phillip Rivers, LaDainian Tomlinson, the entire Chargers team and organization, the way they played last week in Indianapolis. But, this is a far different task this week.
What else do they have to do, though, Jaws? You've said they don't have very good chances, but if San Diego is going to win, if they are going to be the team to break the Patriots, what do they have to do?
I think that you have to get pressure on Tom Brady, and that is easier said than done. Other teams have tried. They have not been successful. Tom Brady is blitzed. In other words, pressure after Tom Brady more than any quarterback in the National Football League. However, against that blitz, he has been fantastic. He's the highest-rated quarterback when teams do try to pressure him. But I still believe you have to try to get him out of his rhythm. You got to get bodies around him. You got to make him think a little bit quicker. You got to make them what I call that cabin fever. Let him feel the pressure of people getting after him. I believe if you do what Jacksonville did last week and let him sit back there in the pocket, he'll just pick your defense apart. And I think the key to this game will be the San Diego Chargers defensive ends, Sean Merriman and Sean Phillips, getting quick pressure on Tom Brady.
Okay, so let's move on to the later game where the New York Giants are going to take on the Packers in Green Bay. A lot of people are talking about the quarterbacks here. Eli Manning, he's definitely stepped it up in the last few weeks, but why? What do you think is going on there? Why is Eli Manning, what's gotten into him?
A quarterback's best friend is the running game. And Eli Manning now has a running game with the New York Giants. And, you know, you look at Jacobs, the way he is running, at 6'5", 265-pound running back. I mean, very powerful guy that could run over people and run by people. And Bradshaw, his backup, is a speedy, quick guy. So they have that thunder and lightning in the backfield. And really, Eli Manning has benefited from that running game. The offensive line has been outstanding. And I talk about pressure about Tom Brady a moment ago, and Eli Manning has really handled the pressure well in the playoffs. Tampa Bay, Dallas, they've blitzed him 15 times in passing situations. He's thrown the ball 15 times, completed 14, 171 yards, 3 touchdowns. So the pressure has not bothered Eli Manning in the playoffs, and he needs to just carry that over against a Green Bay defense that will get after him.
Quick statistic that I looked up, I know you're a big fan of stats, and I agree with you 100% that the Giants' increased focus in the running game has been a huge factor in Eli's success. In the first 14 games of this season, he averaged 34 pass attempts per game. Last four games, he's averaging 23. So Eli's throwing the ball less, he's throwing it better. But I want to ask you a question. Two guys' names I have not heard mentioned in talking about the Giants unexpectedly making it to the championship game here, and that's Tiki Barber and Jeremy Shockey. A year ago, if you said the Giants were going to make it this far without those two guys, people would have said you're crazy. Tiki Barber, who was the best player on the team for the last few years, he retired. Jeremy Shockey, another great player, got injured, but those guys both have had some history of attitude problems, opening their mouths, creating distractions. Are the Giants better off without Tiki Barber and Jeremy Shockey?
It appears they are. I think they have a much better locker room right now. It appears they have, you know, all the players pulling the rope in the same direction. No one is looking for the media. No one's looking for the cameras. No one's looking for the reporters to, you know, expound their personal beliefs and what's right or wrong with the Giants. I think Tom Coughlin has done a magnificent job of getting this team focused on the job at hand. I will be perfectly honest with you. I did not agree with Tom Coughlin when he decided to play all his players and go out and try to beat the New England Patriots week 17. They lost by 3 points in a game that the Giants could have won. I believe they grew from that game. They now believe that they are the second-best team in the National Football League, that they can go to the Super Bowl and play the Patriots and go toe-to-toe with them. It was a heavyweight fight. So I think they grew up in that game, and they realize if they have all the players and coaches going hand-in-hand to get the job done, they can be successful. They have played two outstanding team-oriented games against Tampa Bay and Dallas, and right now I expect them to give the Packers all they can handle on Sunday.
But what about the weather? Isn't it supposed to be freezing? How do you deal with those conditions?
It's supposed to be like 11 degrees, Rachel. I believe we would consider that cold.
You played quarterback in the NFL. You played at Lambeau Field. You played in those tough conditions. What is the secret on a technique level playing quarterback in those kinds of conditions, throwing the ball successfully?
Difficult. In fact, I can think back to the coldest game I ever played in was the NFC Championship game in 1980 against the Dallas Cowboys. The wind chill factor at Veterans Stadium in Philadelphia was 15 below zero.
Oh,
it was that cold.
That is wrong.
Yeah, that is really...
Don't you people ever call snow days?
And you don't have to have your short sleeves on and everything else. So it was all right as long as you were sitting on the bench near the sideline where those heaters were and the heated benches. All of a sudden, you had to go on the field, and within 30 seconds, every extremity was tingling because you were freezing. It was a very cold day, and it makes it very difficult to field the football. And obviously a center and a quarterback, receivers, running backs touch the football so often, it makes it very, very difficult to control the football. So, you know, what you have to really be careful of is being careful with the football. Where are you going to throw it? How are you going to hand off? And because of that concentration, you sometimes limit what you're going to do in your offensive scheme.
Okay, now I want some help from you.
And
as you have deduced from our conversation, I am not the most learned individual in this esteemed sport, this National Football League, as we call it.
The greatest game on earth.
But I am learning. I am totally learning, and I'm up for it. And so since I'm talking to someone of your caliber, what can you tell me to look for? I understand you study a lot of game film. You understand the nuance of that, and you can pick apart things based on that film. So when I'm watching the game on Sunday, Tom Brady, I get it. He's awesome. Everyone loves him. He's great. But to my untrained eyes, what can I look for? What can you tell me now? Rachel, look for this. Tom Brady's going to do this, and it's going to be awesome. What can I look for?
The one thing I always look for in Tom Brady is when he gets what we call it the top of his drop, as he's dropping back to throw. He'll take one hitch step, and the ball comes out. The man is absolutely by far the best technician in the National Football League. He's having a quarterbacking season that has never been had in the National Football League. I mean, this is one for the ages. And, you know, you mentioned it, you know, I watch the tape, and I have an office at NFL Films, and on Tuesday I start watching all the games played that weekend on the coach's tape, all 22, and I watch all the other quarterbacks. And no one, not even a Peyton Manning, who I love dearly, and a Carson Palmer, a great quarterback, you know, are playing at the level of a Tom Brady. And when I say for one thing to look for with Tom Brady, when he drops back in that pocket, the ball is out.
We can't let you leave without asking you to do a little professional speculation. Who are you picking to win?
A little forecasting?
A little forecasting, if you will.
I believe the Super Bowl will be the Pats and the Packs. How's that?
The Pats. That's
and the
nice
Patriots.
And alliterative. Hey, thank you so much. We really appreciate
Rachel.
It.
Thanks, Dan. You guys are great.
Thanks, Jaws.
Ron Jaworski, ESPN football analyst, Monday Night Football commentator, and friend of the BPP now.
So, Rachel, if you didn't fully 100% follow what Jaws, as we've learned, we can call him, was just saying about what for you, what you to watch, I'm going to boil it down even more
okay,
for you.
Okay, because I understand, you know, he steps back, and basically, it's over. I mean,
basically, it's how quickly and decisively Tom Brady throws the ball.
Okay.
That's it. You got to understand that it may look simple to you that when a quarterback drops back to throw the ball, he has to make probably a dozen decisions in a matter of seconds. He has to go from a first to second to third to fourth option. He has to evaluate the defense. He has to see where the weakness in the defense is, and he has to decide who he's going to throw the ball to, where he's going to throw it and when, and all in a matter of seconds.
And Tom Brady does that instantly.
Tom Brady makes that decision faster and more often correctly than anyone else.
How do you know he's not just guessing and he's very lucky?
Because you couldn't be that lucky for that long.
Okay, well, we'll see on Sunday. Thank you, Dan Pashman, producer, Giants fan.
Thanks, Rachel.
Dan.
Go Giants.